CJLO.com. All your brothers and sisters out there, you need to listen. Cleanse your soul in the rivers of the internet. Listen to the radio. Amen.
Hello, I'm Lucas Matthew Marsh for the CJLO Community Calendar for the week of Monday, November 13th to Sunday, November 20th. We're in the middle of final season, and if you're like me, that means you're stuck in your head worrying about deadlines and final papers. But one of the best ways I've found to get out of the stress and just decompress are Concordia's weekly community rhythm circles. Join us at the Multi-Faith and Spirituality Center on Wednesday, November 15th at 11:30 a.m. for a midweek energy boost you won't want to miss. It's open to all members of the Concordia community, for seasoned musicians, and even those with two left feet. Led by the fantastic Dr. Irene Feather, there are 8 rhythm circles this fall. After that, the sessions will be guided by peer representatives from the Mindful Campus Initiative and the Multi-Faith and Spirituality Center. So here's your chance to get on the ground floor and dance to the beat of your own drum. Instruments are provided by the Multi-Faith and Spirituality Center. I hope to see you there. Now, if you've lived in Montreal for as long as I have, odds are you're just about sick and tired of hearing franglais. But if you stick with me, I promise you that you don't want to miss out on this one. Franglais is performing at Olympia on Sunday, November 9th. The French rapper is in town for a one-off show, so be sure to take advantage of this unique experience. Doors open at 4:30 p.m. and the show starts at 6, so be sure to be on time. Tickets are on sale for $74 Canadian on Ticketmaster. And hockey season's back for all you Hab fans out there. The city is jam-packed with Hab games. Sparks will fly on the ice this Tuesday, November 14th at 7 p.m. when the Habs face off against the Calgary Flames. Later this week, the Habs are going to play the Los Angeles Knights and old-time rivals, the Boston Bruins. Go Habs, go. And that's your community calendar for this week. With CJLO, I'm Lucas Matthew Marsh.
Listening to the starting rotation on CJLO 6090 AM. As always, I'm Gabriel Gindi. Alongside me for this beautiful ride, Jacob Snyder. How are you, Jacob?
Oh, great, man. Really excited to be here today. Really excited to talk some sports. It was a great sports weekend. The NFL, the NBA, the NHL are all in full swing. So what better place to be than doing a sports podcast, right?
Of course. Well, it's a radio show.
Oh, right, radio show,
podcast. Yeah, podcast is the norm now, I think. I think they've eclipsed radio now, unfortunately.
Terrible.
But, you know, well, you know, it comes with the territory, right? Like, it was about time for evolution to happen. But anyway, on that note, a lot happened in the NFL, eh, Jacob?
Yes, it was a wild weekend. A few upsets, definitely some games and results I really didn't expect. I've been watching very closely all season, and I thought I had a good idea of who the good teams were. But when a team you believe to be quite good and a true contender loses against another good team, you really start to question it.
And who are you talking? Who are you referring to?
Specifically, the Baltimore Ravens. After blowing out the Detroit Lions and Seattle Seahawks, both contenders in the NFC, in my opinion, I thought they were just about to coast throughout the rest of the year. They were heavily favored against the Cleveland Browns. And the way the game started, 14-0 for the Ravens, it looked like they were going to run away with the thing. But then all of a sudden, Lamar started to miss throws. There were some crazy Ravens turnovers. Deflected balls that got picked off, one that was even returned for a touchdown. And all of a sudden, this unstoppable juggernaut of an offense couldn't move the ball when they needed to. And they ended up losing the Browns, who are themselves just in peril at this point. I don't know if you've come across the news yet, but Deshaun Watson is now out for the year.
I'm not mad at that. And again, this is coming from someone who is looking away from the performance aspect of it. Like, he could be a great quarterback, by all means, for sure. But from someone like more on the outside scope, looking in like outside that bell jar, seeing all the controversies and stuff that happened when he was a former Texan, from him somehow getting a shot again with another team. And it's the Browns, so I guess it kind of makes sense. They kind of usually...
They color outside the lines.
They make pretty crappy like management decisions sometimes. But for him to be injured, honestly, I could sleep fine at night.
See, my thing, I actually look at it completely differently. I'm just looking at it from the fan perspective.
Yeah, like a performance type
Cleveland,
of... Yeah.
Cleveland's a lot like Detroit. They have a very poor history. They haven't had a lot of success. Finally, their football team has this great roster, especially on defense. Miles Garrett is in contention for the MVP. He might be the first.
They're great. Their defense is great.
It's elite. And there's some playmakers on offense. They've already lost Nick Chubb for the year, but the backup, Jerome Ford, has come in and completely carried the load. But then to lose this $230 million quarterback when everything finally seems to be turning the right way. You're coming off your biggest win of the year against the Ravens, like I was talking about. And then a couple of days later, it's announced your starting quarterback is gone for the rest of the year. And their backup plan, all that's left on the roster, is PJ Walker or Dorian Thompson, who is a rookie. And it just kills the fan outlook, does it not? I understand they have the good record,
Browns fans still exist?
Oh, yes. But closer is more regionalized. Around the Cleveland,
sure.
Midwest area, yes.
I don't think I've ever met a Browns fan in my life.
No. That would make sense, definitely, around this area. You'll never see a Browns hat, but once you start getting to that area of the U.S., oh my goodness, they're everywhere.
Really?
Oh, massive fan
base.
But
they're kind of like an older team in the league, right?
Yes, they are
one of the older teams. Yeah, so
yes.
It's like Chicago Bears. I guess the Browns get thrown in there. Who else? Like the Patriots?
Yeah,
right?
The Lions, the Packers.
Lions, Packers, okay. So they're kind of like an original six team type of thing.
Essentially, yeah, if you can.
Oh, okay. Like.
Now they've... Not to dig too deep in the Browns history, but they've moved a few times and there's controversy with that. I don't completely remember the situation, but the team left for a couple of years and then came back.
But they stayed within Ohio?
No, I think the Browns moved to Baltimore, became the Ravens,
okay.
And then another team went to Cleveland and became the Browns again.
But because you clearly, you are a NFL encyclopedia.
Yes.
You know what's going on.
Yes.
As a fan, though, does Deshaun? Because I don't want to bring like I'm kind of like gonna provide him like a more general scope.
Yes,
but like,
yes.
As a fan, are you surprised or how do you see How do you see Deshaun Watson coming to another team and just playing like nothing ever happened?
Again, it's the NFL. If you look back, there's a very checkered history of guys they've taken in.
Yeah.
If you look back. The Ray Rice situation, which was terrible.
Yeah.
The initial suspension was 2 games before they actually got the video evidence. They were only going to toss him for 2 games.
Also, I think Adrian Peterson as well.
Peterson, I got a slap on the wrist at most for, you know, the horrible thing he did with his kid.
Why is the NFL so lenient? Is it because it's more of a money thing at the end of it all? They want these bigger names to be in the games.
Exactly. You hit it right on the head.
Okay,
want them there. They know they have this set fan base that no matter what they do will still tune in, and it's a better product if the bigger names are playing.
Yeah.
Just looking at it, I know this is tough to do and what he did was horrible, but not looking at the off-the-field stuff, as a football fan, I am upset, actually, that he's out for the year, because the Browns were such an interesting watch. I actually enjoyed watching a lot of their games, just the way they played, especially with Watson being super inconsistent. They had to actually lean on that defense, sometimes even for points, and you got to see the Myles Garretts and the rest of their elite defensive line step up and make plays when they really needed it. It was cool to see a defensive led team competing in what looks like the most difficult division in the entire NFL.
Yeah, they did have a good record. I think it was something like, what, 6-3?
Yeah, they're up to 6-3 after that last win.
Yeah, so I guess now, like, according to Stephen A. Smith, so take it with a grain of salt, I guess, he's saying their season is over. What do you think?
Not quite over again with that defense, but it's going to be very difficult for them to win games. Before, with Watson, I think you could reasonably have expected 11 to 12 wins for that team. Now with P.J. Walker, you're looking at 9 and maybe being a fringe playoff team. But had Watson started the rest of the year, I think they were a borderline lock for the playoffs.
Imagine if it's kind of like a Kurt Warner scenario.
You know what? He has that sort of potential. P.J. Walker has played enough ball to maybe just pop off under the right supporting
cast. Didn't Kurt Warner go to the CFL and get picked up again and then won a Super Bowl or something?
Yes, he did.
That's wild.
So he was originally in the CFL, came to the L.A. Rams, had this massive breakout, completely fell off. Went to the Giants, was terrible. Went to Arizona only as a backup. Wasn't ever expected to get a playing time behind Leinart. And then Leinart, poor play, got hurt. You know, combination of both. Warner steps in, and he's once again incredible. One of the wildest quarterback stories ever, similar to Josh Jobs, who the Browns actually had on their roster and traded.
So who knows? Maybe P.J. You said Walker?
P.J. Walker from the XFL. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
He played with the XFL.
Yes, sir.
Is the XFL still a thing?
I think, don't quote me on it, I think they're merging with someone. I don't know if they're officially the XFL.
I heard this. No, they're merging with the...
AF, right?
Yeah, the American Football League or something.
Yes, American Association of Football.
Something like that, but like Rock's team or something. Yes. Or like Dwayne Johnson's team somehow owns like a minority share in it. I don't know. It's a bit... Football and Americans are like apple pie and, I guess, like ice cream.
It is,
goes well together, right?
It's funny you say it. These minor leagues absolutely bomb in the ratings. They do not do well. That's why the merger is even taking place. The XFL could not survive on
its own.
Is it
because their season is usually at the same time as the NCAA? Is that it?
No, they actually went out of their way to play during the summer.
That's what I was thinking. And no one watches that?
No one watches it.
CFL happens during the summer, does it not?
Couldn't tell you. I don't watch a lick of it.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're all ready for NFL. But, yeah, I guess it makes sense, right? Like, why would you watch inferior football if you have...
I was going to say, it's just a lower quality of play, I find. No offense to those CFL players out there, but...
CFL's pretty sick, though. Like, the reason why I kind of enjoy the CFL. Enjoy it. Again, I'm acting as if I watch this every time, but I don't. But, like, I find the three downs has a quicker conversion rate. So it kind of creates like a faster type of play.
Wow, I am shocked. The very reason I do not watch the CFL is because there's three downs. I just feel football needs four downs.
No. Like, you're right. It needs four downs, but sometimes you find those four downs a bit like lengthy, right?
Yeah, depending on the team, yes. It can be a very it allows every team to at least have a pulse offensively.
And the CFL also has some pretty cool conversion rules. Like, I don't know if you saw the video of the Alouettes receiver kicking
couldn't
the ball
couldn't believe that. He did this
ground.
Mini punt to himself. Yeah, I've never seen anything like it's yes, crazy. And it's their ball again. Like, I couldn't believe
it's
that.
It's cute. It's not like cool, but it's cute.
Yeah, it's so and the 1 point, if you kick the kickoff through the post, right, or something like that, there's not opportunity to get 1 point.
Yeah, something, it's weird, but like, you know, I want to ask you, though, like, are you now, like, a Taylor Swift fan?
Yes, of course. Only reason I watch.
It's the only reason you watch now, right?
It's terrible. The NFL this year...
Is it taking, too much attention off of things?
Oh, my goodness,
yes. Especially with the Chiefs?
Yes, and it feeds into this theory that many fans, rightfully, in my opinion, have. The Chiefs have been getting calls now for a couple of years. Very favorable reffing that goes on in Chiefs games towards the Chiefs. And for the NFL to be so actively promoting the Taylor Swift situation, it just feeds into that whole narrative that, hey, maybe the NFL does want the Chiefs to do well. There's some games, and you'll see on Twitter the replays.
But they show her, like, a lot.
Oh, they show her all the time. It's even in the broadcast mentioning it. That's what really gets me. The broadcast, you don't have to talk about her, but they go out of the way to bring her up, even when she's not shown, and make jokes and comments and play off it. I don't think it has a place.
Taylor Swift is this generation's like Michael Jackson.
It feels that way. It feels like her star has turned. But it was funny, and not to get too deep into music, but I remember when I was in high school, it was actually Beyonce that was the big one. She was the, you know, next big star. I feel like with our generation, it does ebb and flow. Even when you think someone's so big, it won't go away. I wouldn't be surprised if this Taylor thing's over in a little
bit. Taylor Swift's fan base is, I don't even want to say this.
They're rabid.
It's cult-like.
It is.
You know what I mean?
But again, it was the same situation while I was in high school, and it was Beyonce.
Really?
100%. I felt it was very culty.
Yeah, but like I don't know what it is. It could just be fandom, just crazed fanfare. I don't know what it is, though. Like, I'm a bit lost for words. But yeah, like, this whole Kelsey, like, even words, like, I brought it up, though, so it's my fault. But, like, this whole Kelsey, like, Taylor Swift relationship seems to really bring more light on the couple and not on the football.
Exactly. The one positive and the very reason why the league is promoting it is you're getting these fans that call themselves Swifties watching the game just to see her shown. And that's a whole brand new audience the NFL would have never had access to before.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we won't have any Taylor Swift ad reads on this next segment, but we'll be back after these short little messages.
Hi, and welcome to the show tonight. Tonight we have
the best new music.
But right now, let's check out the changes in this week's
CJLO
Top 30.
Charts and crafts. Counting down the best new artists played at the station. Every Friday at noon, only on CJLO 6090 AM.
Traveling seems almost like a necessity, either for the pleasure of discovering new places or to visit friends and family. However, in a time of increased awareness about our environmental impact, Via Rail might provide the answer you need. Not only does Via Rail offer a solution to the problem of travel's carbon footprint, but does so at low cost and with great comfort. But don't just take it from me. Here are two members of the Concordia community who can speak to their own experiences traveling with Via.
I love taking Via Rail because I like the quiet pause and relaxation it incorporates into my travel. I always meet really cool people on the train and enjoy taking the time to have interesting conversations with my fellow travelers about where they come from and where they're going.
I've used Via Rail quite a few times and I really like it. It's accessible price-wise, even for students, and it's super, super convenient. I'll definitely keep using them.
Go to viarail.ca to learn more about pricing options for students and young people so you can start making a difference and saving money with your travel today.
Turnovers for San Antonio. They were looking for Wembanyama. Holmgren spins off Collins. Block from behind. Wembanyama got him.
That was yesterday's matchup between Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren. But before that, you're listening to the starting rotation on CJLO 6090 AM. As always, I'm Gabriel Gindi and Jacob Snyder. So did you have a chance to catch that game yesterday, Jacob?
Yes, I watched a lot of it. Was very impressed.
Many fans were saying they're a bit disappointed.
Which I didn't get. I think it was really interesting to watch the juxtaposition to how both teams use their... I don't know how to phrase this perfectly, but oddly shaped superstars.
Yeah, I get what you mean. But I think it was not, because you're looking at it from a very, not even analytical, but more of a coaching perspective. Right. Like, how would you utilize your big men?
Right. That's what I was focused on, how each team was using them.
Unfortunately, the average fan doesn't think as geniusly as you do.
Well, I appreciate it.
I think they're looking more at production. And Chet Holmgren yesterday, from what I remember off the top of my head, didn't even break double digits in points. He did not shoot that efficiently. I think he only had like something like 7 rebounds, if I remember correctly. Something very slow, very low rather. But people were expecting more.
No, and I understand that. I understand the box score kind of way of looking at it. And to your point, he did not have a good offensive game. But the interesting thing that I saw was how much attention he drew and how they use him on the perimeter. They use him, and one of the shots he did hit was a kick out, but then they brought a screen, and he went around the screen and hit a three off the dribble. I thought that was very unique, and that puts a certain pressure on the defense to have to watch the center as a threat from three-point range. And not only a threat as, you know, he's standing in the corner or something, to where they'll actually send a man to screen for him. I just think that puts a unique stressor on the defense and really opens things up for guys like Jalen Williams and Shea.
No, for sure. And just confirming that yesterday he did have 9 points, shot 30% from field goal and 20% from three-point range. But if you're comparing both players on both sides between Wembanyama and Holmgren, I think Wembanyama is somewhat more prepared for the NBA than Holmgren is right now. Holmgren doesn't really look like he picked up size because the last year he didn't play. He was injured like over the summer league, right? So the move now, I guess, for OKC is to, because they have a load of picks, right? And they have a very young team. I think the average age is something like, can you correct me, like 24, 25?
Yeah, I was thinking it was around 24.
It's a very, very, very young team with a bit of inexperience. So maybe if you're Daryl Moore? No.
What
am I thinking of? I'm missing the general
Sam
manager.
Sam Presti. General manager for the Thunder, yeah.
If you're Sam Presti, maybe with the amount of picks you have, maybe it's time to get some veteran presence for the playoffs.
Especially at the center position. I feel like Chet could do even better if he had fewer responsibilities defensively. I feel like a big-time rim protector could really help that team and help their defense skyrocket. Having extra length on top of Chet Holmgren, where Holmgren could come and kind of help and only really need to block shots as kind of an additive opposed to needing to do it as their de facto center, could really skyrocket that team.
And I also think you need like a secondary piece to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he's taken off. He's airborne fully.
I am extremely surprised by that too. I thought he'd be good.
Last year he averaged 32.
The thing with last year, the team wasn't very good. They were the last seed on the play-in, and I really felt it was like good stats, bad team type of situation. But this year, he's really proven on a winning team that he can be just as productive and impactful. And I've been extremely impressed by his play.
Yeah, I still think the OKC Thunder are going to be probably around like a 500 level team. I don't think they're going to be top of the standings in the West. For me, it goes all the way back to age. You need experience, right? And also that also comes with good depth presence when you have good experience on that team. And they don't have that right now. Like, they just don't.
See, it's funny you say that. I actually think the opposite. I think the West is a bit overrated right now. With the Suns, no one plays. The Pelicans are struggling. The Warriors have a massive flaw in their roster. They don't have a center. They have no length down low compared to a lot of these other teams. The Lakers, yes, they look good now, and they're still only the seventh seed, but
injuries,
that's an old team. That's a very old team. Excuse me. The Kings, you're not selling me on. And the Rockets, the team directly above the Thunder, yes, it's a young team, hot start, but once coaches get tape on them, I don't think they'll have anywhere near their 6-3 record. I think the Thunder really do have the potential to be a top four seed, actually. Just looking at the standings right now, obviously a lot can change, and I'm sure the Suns, once everyone starts playing consistently, will shoot up there. But as of right now, looking at it, I think they really do have a good shot to be top four.
Because I'm just trying to like, if you look at their starting five, right? Their starters, Chet Holmgren, he's a rookie.
Yep.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's a breakout superstar within the past year. Lugans Dort, who was last year on the bench, is now starting. And despite him playing well these past few games, he's kind of been hit or miss. Yesterday, he only had 6 points. He shot for something like, I think, like 35-ish percent, 33% from three. Giddy, also, he's getting better. But I still find that you're missing, because when it comes to playoffs, the calls won't be coming as easy. you need that size, especially in the key. And if you're going up against older teams, right? Like let's say an LA Lakers, you have a Davis, you have a LeBron James who've been through the ringer, right? These guys will get demolished.
Oh no, if we're talking about actually winning in playoffs, I completely agree with what you're saying.
But that's the thing. If you're a team trying to build to win in the playoffs, you need more than what you currently have in the OKC Thunder. And they're off to a great start. Look, all their players, minus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, were acquired through picks pretty much. I'm looking down the line.
Yes, they were.
Maybe not Davis Bertans, right? But like Dort.
Dort's a guy they fully developed. Like the Dort thing exactly, is extremely impressive.
Yeah, because they're a small market and no free agent wants to ever go to an OKC Thunder.
That's the tough thing.
And that's, of course, it's unfortunate. Like, it's unfortunate that that happens, but it is, unfortunately, like an average thing that happens in the NBA, right?
Yeah, it's commonplace.
Like,
it's
like
not
Cleveland,
the first time
too.
We've
like,
seen
these smaller market teams have to have really good management in order to build and not acquire. Like, they're not going to be a big market like LA or New York. You know, they're not going to be, like they're not going to be a destination or a hotspot for free agents to come to. So you have to build from the ground up.
Which makes it so much more difficult because if you look at, like you just said, if you look at this Thunder roster, they're one superstar away from being a wow team,
exactly,
I feel like.
Because
but like you said, they can't attract it. It's not like they can go out in free agency and say, we have all this cap space, we have all this good young talent to play with, come here, come play with us. That's not enough of a selling point.
No, and like, no offense, but like, if you're, let's say, I don't know, a player who was, like I don't know, like name me a random superstar, please.
Donovan Mitchell, he's about to hit free agency.
Okay, if you're Donovan Mitchell, right? You had a successful like start in Utah, moved to Cleveland, so you're kind of used to the smaller aspect of things, right? But you're looking for like to get your name out there. You want to sell those Spider shoes.
Exactly, those Adidas,
those Adidas
Spider
ones. The Spider ones, and I don't think going to OKC, despite it maybe being a great career choice. Marketability and advertising? Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. I think he's destined for one of the New York teams. Likely the Knicks, but potentially Brooklyn as well. And same thing with, like, LaVine. I think he's hitting free agency within the next couple of years. He seems destined to be a Laker at some point. These guys just won't consider it, and it's a shame. But, like you said, with all those picks, there's an opportunity in the trade market. Maybe you don't get that superstar, but you can get that
an all-star piece. Who could become a superstar.
Right, or even good player. I know he's had such a poor year this year, but imagine this team with a DeAndre Ayton. You could potentially move your Jalen Williams to the bench, slide Holmgren to the power forward. All of a sudden, your bench has gotten better. Your starting lineup meshes just a bit better.
Yeah.
And that's a player. He's on his big contract. He doesn't really care as much where he plays. He doesn't really have as much choice as well. That could really skyrocket the team. I think they still have a real opportunity to vault themselves into true contention. But like you say, they have to make a move. This cannot be the roster if their plan is actually to win in the playoffs. The bench is too light, and I really think they're lacking rim protection at the moment.
No, they're yeah, and that DeAndre Ayton would be a perfect fit because he has the size and, you know, defensive prowess to defend the rim like at an effective rate. Chet Holmgren, despite him being so far great offensively, defensively, you know, okay, he can get you the occasional block. But if he's blocking, let's say, I don't know, like a Jonas Valanciunas in the key,
right,
that's going to be tough.
Davis, that would be the matchup.
You know,
exactly. Thunder, Lakers.
And they have no minus maybe, I don't know, I'm looking down, even Pokuševski. He's another forward who's lengthy, but he's also a skinny twig.
He is leaning towards DNPs.
Yeah, like, and he's not even playing. He played 5 minutes last game. So, like, you need that size and... Yeah, experience comes along with size too, and DeAndre Ayton would be honestly like a really good fit for this team.
Although,
I didn't even consider that; it's a great fit.
I was looking at that because originally the guy I wanted on the Thunder, Rob Williams, is out for the year. He messed up his kneecap, and that was the case with the Celtics as well. He was always out. I really felt that sort of rim protector, but with the Trailblazers doing so poorly. I think their roster is available for the Pickens. Another guy to consider from the Blazers, Jeremy Grant. a long wing that can really score.
He's a great scorer.
Great shooter, and if he's locked in, he can play a bit of defense. I think that could also take a bit, like you were talking, take a little pressure off of Shea.
Yeah, and another underrated scorer who I don't know his contract situation, but it came off the top of my head is another, like another one. Caris LeVert is also decent.
I like the suggestion. My only issue with LeVert, way too much hero ball. I don't like how he'd fit because Oklahoma City, and it's the thing I liked watching about Chet, they really move around a lot. Their player, they call a lot of plays. Their players play within this really effective system. Their coach, Mark Diagne, I believe is his name, is just really smart and innovative, both offensively and defensively, whereas LeVert wants a lot of ISO ball. And I don't like him in the playoffs as much. Regular season, excellent at. But for the playoffs, when it's crunch time, I can
do
without.
One thing about LeVert, though, is that he always gets he's not really, from a health perspective, he had that tumor a few years ago that luckily didn't like evolve into something worse. But I just feel injuries might get the better of him, you know?
That's especially with a guard who drives and attacks as much as he does.
As much as he does.
That's always a threat. And again, he's not very big. He's lanky, but he's not built. He's not solid.
Well, to transition to another team in the West that you had a keen eye for recently, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are, believe it or not, 8-2.
That I had a keen eye for, and that we had a big, not big in a bad way, but we are on opposite sides on their future, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just that, like, well, okay. From a collective, I don't think they're going to get much done, but Anthony Edwards is looking great.
See, that's where I push back. I really feel like this team has a true chance this year. Like I said before, I feel like the West is a lot weaker than it looks. On paper, I understand there's a lot of superstars in the West. You have Luka on Dallas, AD and LeBron in LA, Steph
and
Golden
State.
You have
Kyrie with Dallas, too.
Does he count? I have my own issues with Kyrie from his time with Boston.
Okay.
But I feel like the West can be had, actually. And yes, Denver at the top, that'll be very difficult to overcome. But beyond that, the Timberwolves, I feel like, have a true chance. And to the Denver point, they match up extremely well with Denver with their elite size. Now, the counterpoint you brought up, which is one that really fears me in terms of being a Timberwolves backer, is Karl Anthony Towns. He absolutely disappears, especially when playoff time comes.
He disappears in the playoffs.
To the point
he's non-existent.
You can't watch.
No,
to where it needs
watch.
To be. But this would be my counter-argument. They signed Naz Reid again. They re-signed him. Very capable big man who could come in and take Towns' spot when he starts to struggle in the playoffs. And Gobert, for all his faults, very capable defender. He's ratcheted back up his defensive play to where it was in Utah.
But why coddle Cat Karl Anthony Towns when that's your guy for the playoffs? Like, he's your number one, like, one guy. Like, he's your center.
He is. And like, don't get me wrong, I would love to see him traded. I would love to see them find some valuable pieces. I don't even think they need a star back. If they could maybe grab a pick and just some good role players to surround Edwards, maybe even a point guard would help so Conley can just cut his minutes back a little bit.
I'll tell you the problem I have with right now Minnesota starters. I'll just go over them. So McDaniels, Gobert, Towns, Conley, Edwards. Towns, he can hit the occasional three. Last game he was 5-for-12. So he's hitting it a bit too much in my opinion. And in the playoffs it kind of gets to his head too, because he tries to really do that lengthy shooting stuff when he should be in the key grinding. Because he is 7 foot? He's massive.
He is, and he's got a bit of size to him, but again, that
Gobert can't space the floor either.
That's the thing. That's why Towns cannot park in the paint.
Conley is 78 years old. Right. I don't know if he can go throughout a whole 82-game season and then be ready for playoffs.
He can't.
So if you're looking at your five, McDaniels too, but McDaniels,
I'm a big McDaniels fan. That's the thing. Great 3-and-D wing.
Yeah.
He has a role. He has a set role. You're not...
For my only qualm with this is that when it comes down to perimeter shooting and spacing the floor, they're kind of null.
Yes. Oh, you're not wrong.
And in modern NBA, you kind of need that. You need that spacing. You need those 3-point shooters. And if you have Cat, who's just alleviating that role by shooting more, then okay, Gobert, I guess, goes down in the post, but then, like, that shouldn't even be his role. I don't even know. I find that there's not, it's missing an identity to a point where who is really the number, who's like the number five guy? Is it Towns or is it Gobert?
Right. Right. In an ideal world,
it would be Gobert.
It would be Gobert because of the defensive presence.
But Towns shoots way too much.
He does, especially like you said in the playoffs where it doesn't really go in as often.
He shot 26 shots yesterday.
But again, we just brought it up, the lack of floor spacing. He's kind of forced to do it. Yes, and again, why I'm still backing him, despite all your points, which are 100% valid and correct, the playoffs, the game slows down. There's a lot more half-court basketball, and I think that team is so long and lanky, they produce unique challenges on the defensive end for teams that are trying to score on them. Having a guy like McDaniels that can truly guard every position puts so much pressure on opposing teams that aren't used to playing the half-court during the regular season to score. And having the big man like Gobert to clean it up at the rim, having a one-on-one scorer like Edwards, I truly believe the team is built for the playoffs in a way. Yes, they're off to a hot regular season start, but like we said, with Conley being a health risk, I'm sure that'll slow down a bit. But once they actually get in the playoffs, I really feel like they're built to succeed in that sort of slower half-court environment.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out like how they could use all these guys, all these starters. Because like for me, still, like I just find that Edwards is going to continue to continue going up. Like especially like he loves these clutch like postseason moments, which is why I'm kind of like on your side of the waters too. But when you look at Rudy Gobert, who you know doesn't really provide much offensively.
No.
He's more of a defensive point and even sometimes he kind of like poops the bed defensively.
The last few years he hasn't been as good.
So it's just I'm a bit lost here. It's like again, I don't know where the identity is coming from. I don't know.
You're not wrong. Like, listen, that is a common criticism of the team.
And who's the guy on the team?
It's Edwards.
But does Kat know that?
You'd hope so. Once the playoffs start, does Kat know that? That's a huge question that needs to be answered.
That's a very big question that needs to be answered.
100%.
Yeah. But yeah, what can you do, right? Yeah.
So, speaking of changing rosters, if I can pivot us, please, to the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, here we go.
Rumors are, and it feel pretty substantial to the point where we should talk about them, they're going to blow up the roster. They're underperforming again in a weak Eastern Conference. You had said this off-air, and I completely agree. Had Lonzo been healthy, we would have been looking at a different team. He was just such a capable point guard.
Lonzo was the glue.
He was.
To just provide scoring for DeRozan, for LaVine, Vucevic coming in. You had just a great starting five, great depth. I think Caruso was still there. He is still there,
yeah. He'll be a big trade target.
Yeah, but you just had all the pieces going, and then unfortunately, his knees gave out.
And this is a team that needs a point guard. Vuce needs someone to get him the ball. DeMar, yes, he can bring it up, but he serves better when he gets to his spot. LaVine, same deal. Capable of bringing it up, but is better when he can go set up in a spot and the ball is kicked to him and he can attack or generate a shot. Having the ball in his hands too much leads to low assist totals, whereas Lonzo, glue is the best way to put it. He spaced the floor for these guys. He got them all involved. He wasn't worried about his own scoring, and he could defend. Lonzo really turned himself into a capable defender, whereas none of their big three really were.
And to piggyback off that, he also developed his shooting form way better. He improved his shooting form enormously.
Well, his shot became excellent. At one point, he was hitting 45% from three.
And to see this band of guys now, if the rumors are true and they're about to blow up, it'd be really sad. If they can wait like an extra year, you're not going to win this year. So why break it all up now if Lonzo's back next year?
But that's the thing. He's not. Like Lonzo's done.
Fully.
Because he had a second knee operation and the type of knee operation he had, if he were to come back, he'd be the first one to ever do it. The outlook is extremely bleak.
Yeah,
and Vuce, on the last year of his deal, So Levine, rumors of him also wanting out anyways. I think he's destined to be a Laker.
Would you like me to read the status update from a month ago?
Sure.
Ball, knee, said Monday that he's about halfway through the rehab process for the cartilage transplant surgery he underwent in March and is optimistic that he'll be able to continue his career despite having already been ruled out for the 2023-24 season. Crazy. I definitely plan on playing again, Ball said at the Bulls media day. After surgery 3, I feel like it's going well so far. No setbacks. So for me, it should keep my head up. Just keep doing the work. Listen, if he's not wearing...
cartilage transplant? Did you hear that?
Okay, if he's not wearing big baller brand shoes, I'm about it. I think there might be a chance that he's back. Off topic though, do you think the shoes were the reason why his knees kind of went to scrap?
110%.
I kind of think that too.
Hold on. I'd say 95% shoes, 5% just the sheer amount of training he did. Since he was 3 years old.
He used to describe he needed to change his shoes at the end of every quarter.
Yep.
Terrible. That's crazy.
You can't do it. You're just opening yourself LaMelo up to such
saw,
risk.
LaMelo saw that he's like, nah.
Yeah, it's good not for happening. Him. He actually had happening. the wherewithal to go and sign a major shoe deal.
Oh,
and
no. But now, if you look at who they have at the one in Chicago, Kobe White.
No, not a true
Not
point
happening,
guard.
Buddy. You had your chance. You got drafted by the Bulls. You were there for now? He's been there for 4 years?
Yes.
Product of Duke, right? He used to be a Duke.
Was he
Carolina?
No,
Carolina
I
Tar Heels.
UNC, yes, sir.
Yeah, Carolina Tar Heels. Yeah,
he was a lot of fun to watch in college.
Yeah, he was fun, but just it didn't transition over.
No.
So they do have a few nice pieces. I don't know. I understand the urgency to restart from scratch, maybe a new rebuild, but with who they have right now, I don't think it's a full flop. I think you can move a few things around.
I'm glad you said that.
You can move. I would move to Sunmu.
But hold on. So you follow the Raptors a bit. Pick a bull. Pick a bull. They're available. Yeah. You guys have picks.
Yeah.
You're definitely lacking another scorer. Who'd you like?
They could take probably imagine a Siakam in there. But the thing is, they don't have a main. The thing is, Siakam is more of a secondary player. He is not going to be the guy, but he'll be the sidekick. Kind of like the Batman, like the Robin to a Batman, kind of, you know?
Perfect. And so if you're the Raptors, why not Zach LaVine?
Oh, you say Zach LaVine to the Raptors.
To the Raptors,
who'd
yes.
You give up,
for
though?
The Raptors.
Who'd you give up? OG?
Picks. No, Picks? OG I'd keep on the roster. I think you just do Schroeder, whatever contracts, maybe Thad Young, and picks. You do a pick-heavy package back to the Bull. I think Bulls, that's what they're after. They'd be after picks, and obviously you're not doing Scotty Barnes, but if you had another young player, maybe even Grady Dick, who's been underwhelming.
You find he's been underwhelming so far?
I haven't been impressed.
No, well, they're kind of throwing him really out there to the wolves, eh?
Yes.
For a rookie who was only really known for perimeter shooting as a scouting report, you'd think they'd give him more time to lay it easy, but they're just throwing him in there. And I don't know if I like that.
That's the thing that's been scaring me with him. The perimeter defense has been terrible. Yeah. He gets targeted. He gets beaten in the spot most times.
Yeah.
I didn't like the pick at the time because he's a kid, but he's never shown the ability to defend. It's why I never supported the pick. I understand they need shooting, but you can get shooting from a specialist. There's plenty of specialists out there you can go and get.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't need to spend the 15th or 14th overall pick on a guy.
To your point, exactly. But now I guess we have him. The Raptors have him. There's not really much else we could do at that point. I guess the thing now is for Grady Dick to develop efficiently.
He needs to round out his game.
Yeah, he has to round out his game. I still find it incredible that he's able to do a backflip at his size. Have you seen that video?
He is surprisingly
he's
athletic.
He's very athletic.
He's a big-time dunker as well.
That's one reassuring aspect, is he's a very athletic guy. And usually with athleticism, you can get those.
Right. To the point, where's the defense then? You have it in you, clearly athletically, like you're saying. Where's the defense?
It's true. So we're going to go on a quick little break. Maybe some more NBA talk. We'll figure it out. But anyway, we'll be back after these short little messages.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight right here on... DJ LO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. Craig Bailey, your host for an hour from the dark side of the moon. An hour of Pink Floyd. Floydian Slip, Tuesday nights at midnight on 1690 AM, CJLO.
And envie de films audacieux qui renouvellent le langage du cinéma?
Pour un accès privilégié aux visions les plus stimulantes et diversifiées du cinéma documentaire, les RIDM sont le festival à ne pas manquer.
Ça se passe du 15 au 26 novembre à Montréal.
Rendez-vous au ridm.ca pour tout savoir sur la programmation.
Les rencontres internationales du documentaire de Montréal. Là où toutes les histoires se rencontrent.
And we're back. You're listening to the You're listening to the Starting Rotation on CJLO 1690 AM. As always, I'm a very tired Gabriel Gindi. Alongside me, Jacob Snyder. Before we get back into the NBA talk, we were talking about like this over the little ad break we had. I am burnt out.
School's been tough this week. This is the first week, really, since I've been here for this semester that I've needed to kind of like get away from it some days just to have enough energy to attack all my assignments for the week. Even today, class, right after this, doing an assignment, and then we have a gala tonight, and then doing another assignment after. It's just such a jam-packed day.
I heard it's the Gazette Gala, right?
Gazette Gala. Yeah, have you been?
No. I think it's only with grad students.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, hey, fancy.
Undergrad. Yeah, but like, so can you, like, you don't have to tell me like now, we can maybe talk after, but like, what is that exactly? Like,
it's an excellent question. All I know is there's free food.
That's, to be honest, it's the only thing I've heard from other people as well. So at least you're going to get some free za. I think it's za, right?
Is it? Okay.
I think it might be za.
Oh, wow. Hey, we were talking. I was just asking my buddy what they were serving. Of course, you know, you're not even going. Terrible.
Oh, well, you know, just leave one in the dumpster for me. On that note, we're back to NBA. We want to talk about maybe some disappointing moments or players that have so far come to the forefront this season. Jacob, what you got?
I have one player, one team. The disappointing player has been Damian Lillard on the Milwaukee Bucks.
This is wild.
He's shooting 37% from the field and 26.9% from deep. Around 25 to 30% of the total points he's scored have come from free throws. When he's not getting calls and actually shooting the ball, it's not going in. This was supposed to be a home run addition. They gave up Drew Holiday, who had been a really consistent performer for them, to bring in Dame. And thus far, they're winning a bit, but they're not doing as well as people expected. They were supposed to be this 9-1
juggernaut,
10-0 juggernaut. They're absolutely not. And Dame's numbers have looked terrible.
They're 6-4, which...
Nearly 500.
If you thought in the offseason that when they got Dame Lillard, people would be like, oh yeah, they're just going to be 6-4 within the first 10 games, people would be laughing. But no, they'd be like 9-1, best case scenario. Worst case scenario.
The scary part is he's a guard in his mid-30s. And aging guards do not do well in the league. There's a whole history of drop-offs. And are we seeing it with him? He relies a lot on the long ball. And being at 27%, that's not going to cut it.
So, yeah, the last 10 games, he's been shooting 37% field goal, 26.9% three-point percentage. Yeah, and on the road, it's even worse. 37.5 field goal with 25% three-point
percentage. Did you ever expect it to look like that?
And he's averaging 18 on the road, too. Yeah, you know, I guess... I don't know. Do you get into the psychology of an athlete at that point? Like when you move into a new team, a new area, new teammates, your roles change now because you don't have the ball all the time. You're still averaging around the same minutes, you're hovering around 30, 35, but now you got to split that ball possession time with Giannis, with
Middleton.
Middleton as well.
Bobby Portis,
yeah, to a degree. Lopez even too, but yeah, I kind of see how it makes sense that he's kind of fallen off a bit, but to this degree, as you said, it's kind of wild.
It was absolutely shocking when I saw the percentages. I had known he wasn't as efficient as he was with the Blazers.
Yeah.
I didn't know it had gotten this bad to where you're talking about 28, 29% from three. If that doesn't get cleaned up, Milwaukee can kiss any thoughts of contention goodbye.
I think, like, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt that he just, like, he's been in, he was with Portland for what now?
I think 11, 12 years.
Exactly. He was there for, like, a long time. So let's give him time to get used to the system.
Very fair.
The offensive schemes, you know, and then we can go from there. Because I remember on his opening night, he had something like 39 points or something.
He did. I think he set a record for debut with a new team.
So everyone was hyped. They're all like, oh, yeah, we got the best player now. We're ready to, like, go ahead. But
I don't have it in front of me, but imagine you take that game out of his statistics.
No,
and
probably,
do the last nine games. You'd be talking about a 23% three-point shooter.
No, yeah, it's but yeah. So consider that's another team that I think, if they can get all the X's and O's down correctly, they might have a chance. Because you're looking at your bench: at Malik Beasley, Cameron Payne, who was great with Phoenix,
very capable. Yep.
You have Pat Connaughton's a great perimeter shooter.
Yep.
You know, you got a few pieces there who can really, like, considerably, like, help come postseason time. But again, it depends, because now you got rid of a Jrue Holiday. You got rid of some more depth in substitution for Damian Lillard. So, like, they really have to, like, go off of him pretty much to really have a successful run in the postseason.
That defense is so bad, too. Lillard does not guard. Lopez has aged. He used to be an elite-level rim protector. He's absolutely not anymore. So they're going to be really reliant on their offense to win games. Like you say, if Lillard does not get a shooting in the right spot,
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. To pivot, though, to the disappointing team, for me, this is one we talked about it before, and I was just so high on this team in terms of their roster construction. I thought the pieces would fit perfectly. We talked about a certain superstar maybe getting his weight right, the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, I want to hear this. Okay, go ahead.
An absolutely atrocious start to the season. CJ McCollum has a collapsed lung.
Yeah, I don't even know how that happened.
No.
How did that even happen?
I still don't know, because it wasn't like there was a big collision or something where you can be like, oh, definitely something happened there. Like where he broke a rib and it punctured a lung. I have absolutely no idea. I was shocked he was injured. When they said he'd be out the next game, I had no idea.
Yeah, like when I saw the injury report, I was... Like when you used to see like ankle sprains,
oh of course,
contusions,
yeah,
knee, here and there, knees, shoulder, ACL, collapse lung.
Just
what?
For a guy that has you know been extremely durable, too.
And he's an athlete. Like generally, you think like, yo, they're low key in shape. Like how would you get a like how would that even happen? I'm trying to think. I tried to think of scenarios. I couldn't even wrap my head around it.
The only
a collision.
Well,
I guess?
Yeah, unless you got something, you know, that's genetic with it, but. A big collision. A lot of times when guys mess up their ribs, that rib will actually jam into the lung and puncture it. And then when that weakens the lung, then you can potentially have the collapsed lung.
So,
but I don't think that happened. It was a weird thing. So I really don't
know
what happened.
They didn't report a broken rib.
No, and there was no highlights or on Twitter about like, oh no, this terrible play happened. Look at CJ here. So yeah, the Pelicans being 5-6, I'm shocked by. And Zion, again... So he's finally playing, and then he takes the podium after a game and starts complaining about his fit within the offense. Oh, I'm just trying to learn the system. I'm trying to, you know, take my role on. Really? Like, you're finally out and playing, and now we're going to bring up a controversy about your role.
The thing about Zion is that I don't think he has... Of course, he's a member of the team, probably one of the bigger portions of that team, so he does have a right to say, but at the same time, you barely ever played, if that makes any sense.
I was going
to
say...
Like, you didn't really play ever a full season. You probably played max, like, what, 40, 50 games even? That's being generous.
Yeah,
That's being really generous. So, for you to come in within the first 8 games of the season, 8-10 games, and then to really, like, just go off on your whole, I guess, management...
The coach, yeah, Willie Green.
It's a bit rich, you know?
I thought it was a little much. That was, again, as a backer of the team, a little frustrating to see. A guy who doesn't play on a big contract. He was rewarded with a big contract, even though he wasn't playing. And then to complain about your role, it raised a lot of concerns. And this team that I thought was going to be really good, I'm starting to have a lot of doubts about.
They do have, again, I feel like I'm a broken record, but they also have great pieces that...
Oh my goodness, that roster is so impressive.
Like, And the thing is, they have good cheap pieces like Jose Alvarado at $1.8 million, Herbert Jones at $12 million. Again, Trey Murphy III is okay as well. He's $3.3 million. Like, they got pieces that are, if you're going for like quality price, like qualité prix, là,
yeah,
it's pretty much there. Like Jonas Valanciunas, $15 million. Like, they got some good pieces here, but it just, do they gel? And if one of you, if your main guy, who's supposedly the captain, is just pooping all over management, guess what? It's not going to really motivate them to work within a system, or even that work with Zion.
I think that's something that we didn't necessarily recognize with CJ McCollum, how good of a leader he is.
He's a great leader.
I think things maybe don't get out if he's there and playing.
Yeah.
But with him out and probably away from the team getting that treated, I just another quick note just for Murphy is also out.
Trey Murphy. Yeah, that's true. He does have
he messed up his knee. I think he's out for nearly 2 months. So a bit of bad luck. Oh, Larry Nance out too. A bit of bad luck with the team. But
Larry Nance, I have no, again, you know, I said I won't lose sleep over Deshaun Watson. I won't lose sleep over Larry Nance Jr. either.
Oh, are you ready for some niche NBA? I love Larry Nance.
Okay.
I really feel like he's a great glue guy, rebounder, floor spacer, big team guy, and for his position, great passer.
No. You got me twisted. As a player, for sure, he's chill. But as a person...
Oh, yes. No.
That's where I
great
lose.
Point.
Okay.
Great point.
So,
yep.
I don't know. Are you aware of the video online?
No. Oh, emergency alert.
Emergency alert.
Yeah, we either
we both
got
like,
a text.
I was like,
at
who's
the same
calling
time?
Me?
Yeah, right at the exact same time as someone's calling you.
Il n'y a pas de danger pour votre santé ou votre sécurité. Il s'agit réellement d'une urgence. Oh, so it's like a test. Was it a test Amber Alert? That's what it seems like it was.
Well,
okay,
it was
well,
in French,
you.
So sending that to me doesn't do any good anyways.
But yeah, the video, there was a child, like a little toddler, like a little 3 foot little munchkin, asking for an autograph while the team was walking.
Okay.
And Larry Nance, and the mother was there too. The mother was filming, right? The kid walks to Larry Nance. Larry Nance is a big, you know, 6'8" power forward, like massive, right? Looks down at the kid's like, I'm not signing anything. And the kid's there like, and one of his players felt so bad, he came in, signed for the kid. But I'm just like,
oh, that's terrible. I didn't
buddy,
know that. I
buddy,
had not heard
I'm like,
that.
You could literally like have just, you're not like LeBron James.
Even if you are, take 10
even,
seconds and
I don't even
sign
think,
for the
I don't
kid.
Even think LeBron James would ever do that to someone, to be honest.
No. These guys know better. It's such good PR. You can only win by signing something. It's such good PR.
Exactly. It's like, why look bad? Anyway, left a bad taste in my mouth, but you're right. As a player, Larry Nance Jr. is great to have on a team. As a person, maybe not. But who do I know? I never met the guy.
True. Where are you at? Like any teams, even maybe not disappointments, but even surprises? Any teams you've been kind of keeping an eye on?
One team that I've been kind of curious, especially with the departure of DeAndre Ayton, was the Phoenix Suns. Seeing how they are right now, it's a bit underwhelming, 4-6. You think Booker would be a play better. You'd think with the acquisition of Beal and Durant, they could finally play together. But no. Turns out the only time they're actually starting to play together is this game, the 10th game into the season, which is absolutely wild for your three best players, your three guys on the team, the three dogs. To
finally that's
start
over $100
together.
Million dollars combined, and they cannot be bothered to make it out on
and
the floor to play.
The worst part is they lost against teams that they should not be losing to, like the Lakers. They lost against the Spurs twice in a row, and then followed by the loss to the 76ers, who are also have a little fire in their house, especially with Harden now gone. Lakers, too, they lost, and the Thunder. So they're kind of like, despite the sample size being very small, very underwhelming, and hopefully they can turn things around because they are a team that is definitely should not be in the bottom of the standings.
And they're a fun watch. Like, I want to see this team in the playoffs, not in the play-in, in the actual playoffs.
Exactly. On that note, Jacob, any closing remarks?
No, but again, NFL primetime football is finally good this week. Get in front of your TV Thursday.
So what
massive
are your picks?
Oh, what are my picks?
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, those are for the premium subscription, not handing out those for free.
Great. Well, on that note, you're listening to The Starting Rotation. See you next week.
Walking out the last hour, I'm through trying now, it's a big relief. Staying down where no one else gonna give me grief. around. Just make it over.